We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live! Fuck it!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Eddie's Wall. We are live here at the Transworld Snowboarding Studios in Carlsbad, California, with our special guest today, UC Oxenden. UC, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming. Before we get started, we have two important things. Number one, we are live, so this isn't my interview. I'm not interviewing UC. You guys are. So you guys, you please, you know, send your questions. I have this special Apple Computers made this special computer for me. We just got it in. So as you can see, these graphics are pretty insane. So thank you, Apple Computers. And send your questions in. I can ask UC the questions. So what do I know? You guys have the good questions. And the best part about asking the questions, Mizu bottles here. UC started this company. We're going to get into that later. But we are going to give away two very high-end, awesome Mizu times Transworld snowboarding bottles to the two best questions or comments of the episode. So let's get started. Cool. UC.
Yeah.
Well, let me do a little introduction real quick. So UC Oxenden, I'm sure he doesn't need an introduction, but we have one of the longest snowboard careers. Actually, I should rephrase that. One of the longest legit snowboard careers ever in the history of snowboarding, I would say. One of the most successful. Filmed with every huge guy from, whether it's MacDog or Standard or Robot Food. Unbelievable filming career, but then also went out and did tons of contests, multiple X Games medals, US Open. So overall, just banger career. But like every show, let's start from the beginning.
Yeah, so grew up in Finland. I was a little skate rat. And then that's kind of how that evolved into snowboarding. We don't have very big hills, and I was obviously grew up in skiing.
Yep.
And then skating, we didn't have any indoor parks, so like then you have to hang the skateboard for 8 months, and it's, you know, kind of harsh. And then skiing is the local hill. It's like 150 vertical feet, so it's like, you know, like the bluff over here in Encinitas. So once you ski, you learn to turn. It's like gets kind of boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
So snowboarding was kind of natural evolution to skateboarding. And then, yeah, it was just really fun experiment. Because at the time, it was like 88, and we didn't really know what snowboarding was.
Right.
You know, it was
right.
Kind of new. There was no media. And so it's just kind of like, oh, this is cool. This is like skateboarding but on snow.
Right.
And until later, we kind of like, oh, there's people actually do this. And there's like things, you
right.
know. So we're the first couple years was just really having fun with friends and just building your kickers or whatever. Like we kind of had our own little scene.
And this was before parks, really.
Oh yeah, we never had
right.
anything.
Right.
Like if you want it, you're like
you build it.
You're lucky to have a cat driver to like put a little pile, and then you just get busy and build a little kicker.
And what age was that when you discovered snowboarding?
So yeah, it was around 10.
Okay,
I got into it and. And so quite a few years we were just, you know, playing around in a local hill. And then there's one guy from where I was snowboarding with, he started competing. And we were good buddies. But that was, for me, was never anything I wanted to do. I didn't like competing. Didn't want anything to do with it.
That's so funny.
And then so my buddy started doing him, and he was doing really well. And then I would just go to these, I would travel with him, I'd go to all the local contests, and I would just kind of watch him, and he would win some of the contests, and I'm like, oh man, like, maybe I should try. And then next year, I started competing, and that transition was really hard, because we never had a half pipe, and
right.
all the competitions were half pipe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, going into straight from like, what is this thing? And I think it was the first contest I did, and I think I ended up like ninth or something like that. And I was like, oh man, this is kind of cool. Like I've never ridden half pipe before and I got in top 10.
Yeah.
and then it just kind of kept rolling from there.
Yeah.
And then the thing too, like, you know, so that was 96 and already 97. It was Junior Worlds. So I got invited to that. And then I got second in a half-pipe junior world champions. And Steve Astafin, who was my Lamar team manager, he came down to, it was actually in Finland, so he came down, the local distributor talked to him and said, hey, you should come and check out this local kid. And he flew over. I got second, and then I got a wild card to go to US Open week later. And so it all happened super fast.
Real fast.
And then, yeah, so Steve took me to US Open, and I remember that trip. That was, I flew with him. I didn't speak any English. We flew to New York.
And how old were you?
17.
Wow.
So I had no clue what I was getting myself into, but I just kind of went with the flow and did that. It was a really cool experience. And then,
do you remember how you did in that US Open?
Honestly, I didn't do well. I was so I mean, there was like Terrier and all these guys. Yeah. Like, what is going on here? Oh, I was just riding my local hill year before. And then Lamar was, I started kind of working with them. I came to Mount Hood that summer, did a photo shoot. And then 98, things kind of started rolling pretty quick. I got into Olympics, did that. And then after the Olympics, I came to...
For pipe?
For half pipe.
Wow. Yeah. For the 98 Olympics?
98 in Nagano, yeah.
Wow. I don't think I ever knew that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a whole other story itself. But, yeah, so anyways, like my dream was always to do filming.
Yeah.
Contest was kind of like necessary step to...
To get noticed.
To get there, get sponsors, get, you know.
Yeah.
So once I did the Olympics, after that, I was like, I never want to ride half pipe. Like, that was never my thing. It was kind of like...
Yeah.
I was like, now I just want to try to do filming thing.
Right.
I got an opportunity to film with Standard a little bit.
Yep.
And so that was kind of like the intro year. I got in late because it was like late March.
Yep.
So I didn't get to spend a lot of time. It was more falling than landing.
Yeah. I want to talk about that. Before we get into that, let's get to some questions. If you're just tuning in, you're watching Eddie's Wall. We have UC Oxen in here. We're in the Transworld Snowboarding Studios in Carlsbad, California. And we're live. The best questions and comments are going to have a chance to win two water bottles, Transworld and Mizu, company that UC started. It's doing really well. Let's get some questions going right here real quick. Evan Francis Litswas. Yo, how's retired life treating you? Do you ride more or less now?
It's really good, but I've been thinking about that a lot, and it's retired life is busier than I ever thought.
Right. Yeah.
I'm obviously full-time with Mizu. Really kind of put my mind into it, and it's going really well. But I think in a way too, like the last 5 years in snowboarding, I was really pushing hard, like every ounce of like energy I had.
Yep.
And then so once I decided to retire, it was such a relief.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like I've almost like felt like I had to take some time off.
Yep.
And then this year we did an awesome trip to Japan. It was just like kind of me and my partner Tim Polk and Mizu. We just went and rode.
Sick.
And that was really cool. But yeah, so I think I'm looking forward to like doing more specific trips, but yeah.
Awesome.
A little bit less snowboarding, more with my kids now.
Cool. Emily Joe Miskiewicz, why can't anyone butter like you used to?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was my era when I grew up in snowboarding, just watching like Terry and Mike Rangut like doing all the butters, and I don't know what it was, but that to me was so cool. And maybe it was like a skatey kind of thing to do, but that always kind of, I don't know, it was just something that I always enjoyed.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I just kind of went with it, and I know there's a lot of like Peter Lyon was doing some rad stuff, and but yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, was that in Robot Food when you started doing like the butters off the was?
Yeah, so Robot Food it kind of started like doing the and I started doing it in the backcountry.
Yeah,
and then, then the contest, like I started doing the like a butter to like Switchback 9 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that was like.
Oh wait, speaking of Switchback 9, I have to say this because it was maybe. I don't know if it was your second US Open or third or something, but I remember we never got like cable or anything at my house, but this one time somehow I got to see the US Open. Like, I don't know if we went to like a little local restaurant or something, and I remember, you know, of course I recognized like Peter Lyon's name and, you know, these guys, and it was like Jason Borgstedt and, you know, but then it was funny because you dropped in, and at that time, like, I had just assumed like a switchback nine was just so gnarly, you know, it still is a gnarly trick, but I remember then, you know, a lot of people were doing backside and frontside and cab, and switchback side was like, okay, you'd see switchback fives here and there. Switchback nine was unbelievable. So I remember seeing you do a switchback nine on the on TV or whatever. And I remember thinking, I couldn't, your name might as well have been Japanese. I was like, Jussi Okusunon. Oh man, I'm getting a phone call here. What? Come on, blowing people. I was like, oh, Jussi Oksanen. And I remember actually thinking, I need to remember that name. I was like, I am going to focus on remembering that name because this dude is obviously going to be huge, you know? And I was like, that guy's amazing. So anyways.
Yeah, that was pretty funny because I skateboard Koofy and snowboard regular.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
So, and it's, I know, Downing always calls me a cheater.
A cheater.
But like switch backside, that was always way easier for me than backside. And
right.
So I got lucky for contest wise.
Yeah. Because switch backside. Okay. More questions. They're stacking up. Thank you guys so much for writing in the questions. Let's do this. We said Emily's Kelly Jorgensen, and I think we're going to get into this question in more detail later. But she's wondering, how did you get Mizu off the ground, up and running? And any advice for someone who is starting a new brand? That's a really good question.
Yeah, so Mizu started, it was really a passion project.
Yep.
It was something that I was felt like something needed to be happen.
Yep.
Especially because I'm traveling here in the US, it was like seeing so many single-use plastic water bottles. So I wanted to introduce a brand that can kind of speak more to the youth.
Yep.
So we wanted to build a brand, but therefore it's cool, but it's like maybe youthful. Youth will be like, okay, that's cool, and then it makes sense, you know, kind of has both ends. And so it was really like kind of what snowboarding was for me when I started. Mizu was the same thing. It's
right.
Like, okay, this is, I want to do something more meaningful.
Yep.
And the challenge was at the time when we started Mizu, it wasn't necessarily set up as a business so much. You know, it's more like
hey, a homie project.
We want to do this. Like, we want to convert as many friends out of single-use plastic and get them used reusable. But then it kind of like evolved naturally from there.
Yeah.
And that's obviously, that's been a huge challenge. It's just like taking that transforming from kind of like this garage project to legitimate brand.
Right.
So we've been in business for 8 years, and the biggest I was very lucky because I had some very good mentors. I think that's really important.
Yep.
Always rely on people who can help you. So, you know, whatever you need, like you can go to somebody. It's like, hey, like I have no clue what I'm doing here, but can you help me
out? Yeah.
So Chad helped me a lot from Nixon at their early age. He would kind of give me like a little do list, like, hey, here's like the next 3 months. Like, hey, like check these and then we'll look at it again.
And, whoa, cool.
And then finding right people to work with, being really able, lucky to be able to build a really solid team.
Yep.
My partner, Tim Pogue, our CEO and president, he's founder of Ride Snowboards.
Yep.
So he's, you know, he's very experienced in business side of things.
Yep.
So just having that, you know, knowledge and that, you know, somebody pro running it, it's really key. So
cool.
But then it's important to have that, the brand message too. And like, that's kind of what my mission is, to really just kind of guide the brand and, you know, have that passion and kind of core mission still keeping it sane.
Yeah. The reason that you started it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep running through. We're getting like bombarded with questions. Thank you guys. This is amazing. Again, if you are watching, best two questions are going to win these very high-end custom Mizu bottles times Transworld snowboarding logo on them. Pretty epic. Let's see here. Anthony Harris, what trick took you the longest to learn, and what was the feeling that you had when you landed it finally?
It must have been all the double corks.
Yeah, which is, how old were you when you were learning this? Because
probably like 30.
Yeah, I figured you had to be at least 30.
Yeah, so it wasn't necessary how difficult it was, but it was just like a sort of a buildup. Like it was something that you know you gotta do.
Yeah.
But it's like, you didn't want to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh man, like I know I gotta do this.
Right.
And so this is kind of that build up. I think he was like, you know, 2 years. Like for me, it was like, okay, like,
I'm
and then it's
to
like, you know, trying to find the right jump and like, which double is it going to be? And, and I remember we're in Tahoe, we're filming and we built this jump and it was just perfectly set up. And I was like, okay, like I'm going to go for it. And I did the first try, totally like, you know, got lost in air, but I'm like, oh, like I figured it out.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, like I need to do this.
Yeah.
And then I went again and landed it perfect. Right away. I'm like, what just happened?
Oh,
I had no idea what happened. And it wasn't like I learned a trick by any means.
Right.
But it was just like, oh,
I
don't know what happened, but I just landed it. So, but I think like, as far as that, I think it was, you know, just the build up, that was just like a kind of stressful process.
Mental build up.
Yeah.
Colby Sears, what is your best memory from filming for Chokesmack?
Chokesmack? I think it was just that whole era was with the crew, like we're like Heike, Villa, JP, myself, like it was just a really rad crew, like friends, just and it was kind of like a build up from Robot Food going to that, like we almost like sort of continue that with that, like we just bunch of friends deciding what we're gonna do, where we're gonna go.
Yeah.
And I think that was the year when we went to Austria and that kind of became our spot.
Okay.
And so we discovered a lot of really rad zones and some new jumps, and Europe was always fun.
Yeah, Europe.
After skiing.
Yeah, after skiing. Let's see. Okay, Todd Coleman, if you could only pick one or two board graphics of all your pro models, which one would be your favorite?
I think it's probably like me on that little mini bike.
What's that?
I'm wheeling
Yeah.
And it was kind of, that was like pretty, at the time, it was just like, are we seriously going to do this? Like, this is like, you know, pretty out there at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just thought it was kind of funny and it was cool. It was just totally different than what was out there at the time.
Yeah.
So I think, I picked that.
All right, there you go. The mini bike wheelie.
Yeah.
How many years were you on Burton?
Almost 15 years.
15?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, wait. Guthrie Gordon, is a hot dog a sandwich? Pretty random question.
I do sandwich.
All right. let's see. Zoe Oxenden, Dad, please can you bring home some chocolate chip ice cream tonight? Gabriel from Gabriel and Theo.
Oh, that's classic.
All right. All right,
copy that.
You're getting
do list.
You're getting your grocery list on Eddie's wall. That's awesome. All right, Jav Mill. How do you feel when you see Stale stole your haircut? How do you feel when you see Stale stole your haircut?
I think he's got more hair than me. I don't have any hair, so.
Yeah. let's see. Oh, Shay Logsden, what's your scariest snowmobile experience? Any crazy crashes or wrecks or anything? Or
I think in general, like the last 2 years, it was like scariest thing in general every day was snowmobiling. It was just because we were going so much
further
deeper,
and
deeper. It was like, we're doing like 60, 70 miles a day and like you cut in these huge hills and it's honestly like terrifying.
Cause
if you break a big giant hill and it's game over.
Yeah.
So there's definitely times that, and now with the sleds too, like they're so powerful. So you pretty much get up to anything.
Yeah. There's no excuses.
Yeah. So like, you just like, seriously, we're doing
yeah,
this?
Yeah. In 99, like, you'd be like, I would totally go there, but, my sled can't handle it. So we should turn around.
Yeah. But, I mean, we didn't have any particular moments. It was just like general, like it was getting pretty gnarly.
Yep.
But we saw a lot of serious accidents. Yep. We saw snowmobilers, you know, die in the backcountry. A lot of it's like total Barneys again, like doing sleds, gnarly sleds, going somewhere where they shouldn't go.
Yep.
But just like you coming home and you like hear what happened, and you're like this is like pretty heavy.
Yeah, yeah. I remember one time we were sledding out. It might have been in Cook City or somewhere, but we were sledding and we pulled up to a bunch of sled necks who were obviously beginners or something, and they're all sitting there and we're like, oh, hey, how's the snowpack? Like any avies, anything sliding? And the dude pulled out his transceiver and he's like, yeah, it's super good, man. Like nothing's gone off yet on my transceiver, so it's fine. And we were just like, oh my gosh, dude. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, anyway, okay, yeah. So Patrick Lee, what is your favorite video part that you've ever had or been involved with? By the way, Mac Dog for life. Patrick Lee, what do you think? Favorite video part.
That's my favorite. It's probably Afterbang. Okay. Of food, and not necessarily like the quality of riding or anything, but it's just like that to me is like the best memories of my snowboarding filming whole career. It was just so much fun. It was just amazing. And we just felt like it was just a bunch of kids running loose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it kind of, that whole video kind of reads that too. Like it really kind of shows and captures like what good time we had.
Yeah. So. Yeah. What snowboarding is all about. I think that's why they did so well. I mean, that it's still, the Robot Food Trilogy is, you know, everybody's always all jazzed about it. Let's see. Travis Dogs, where do you live now?
I live in Cardiff by the Sea.
It's about 2 miles away now.
Yeah, it's like about 8 miles south from here.
Okay.
Yeah, been here for 11 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
11 years.
Yeah.
So you would just travel in the winter, obviously.
Yeah, so I would base here, and then I would just travel anywhere. In the last like 6 years, I would go to Canada probably like 10 plus times.
Yeah.
So it was like commuting.
Yeah, just commuting, a 24-hour commute or 48-hour commute. Yeah. If you're just tuning in, you're watching Eddie's Wall here at Transworld Snowboarding Studios with special guest UC Oxenden, snowboarder phenomenon. And we are giving away 2 Mizu bottles times Transworld Snowboarding to the best questions and comments. So thank you guys so much for commenting in. Let's just keep rolling with these questions. I had a bunch of questions for you, but you guys have way better questions, so let's keep doing this. Tim Armstead, favorite Northwest spot to shred?
Mount Baker.
Okay, and he said skating and snowboarding.
I honestly haven't skated there.
Okay, no skating in the Northwest, but Mount Baker?
Mount Baker, yeah. I mean, that's like just, to me, like I've had my best snowboarding days in Mount Baker.
Cool.
Early season, just like, so much snow, 3 feet every day, just shredding.
Yeah.
Like incredible. Love that place.
All right. Shay Logsden, who is your favorite snowboarder to watch and who is your favorite snowboarder to ride with? That's a pretty good question.
I mean, there's favorite snowboarders. There's a lot of
That's
them.
That's a hard one. That's a hard one to nail down.
But I think when I was growing up, there was a few. Ingemar Bachmann was a huge... it was Ingemar, Peter Line, and Devin Walsh. I think that was like the kind of like the top three inspiration.
Okay. And then what about ride with? Like once you, you know,
for some reason it's like every time, like I ride with the Finns. It's I don't know what it is, but it's something. It's just. Maybe because it reminds you of home.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like with Yoni or Ika and Arrow and all those guys, and it's just fun.
Yeah.
Fun
well, group. I mean, it's got to be pretty insane. I mean, you guys are from a very small country on the other side of the world. Real, I mean, not necessarily, but especially back then, the snowboarding industry is really based out of the USA. And I think for you guys to come over here to a strange country, not speaking English, and end up having these big prosperous careers, mm-hmm. I could see like riding together. It's probably this pretty cool thing. Like, hey, we really made it, you know.
And it's everybody does their own thing too. So Arrow's filming for this, and and Nico's doing this, so it's like when you get a chance to ride together, it's just it's rad. You can catch up and, you know, have fun, and yeah it's cool.
Let's see, Brad Sarar, are you sick of Aaron Leland's blue emo filters that he uses?
I kind of like it. I think it's cool. Like, I think, I mean, I don't say he's probably the first guys, but just he was like who kind of like created this like a look, you know?
Yeah.
Consistency, and I think it's kind of cool to have that. Like, that's, you know, that's Leland trademark. You know.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, Will Diaz Villarreal. hi, have you had any near-death injuries during your professional career, and how did it change your mentality and discipline during your recovery?
Yeah, so I've had few close calls. The last was probably the last day of my whole snowboarding career.
Right.
It was when we were up in Whistler filming, and we already had really incredible 4 days helling. And the last day was like, okay, like we still have one day, weather was coming in, like everything was kind of like, we're tired, kind of over it. Yeah. Weather wasn't there, snow was not so good. And then we went up and we're like, okay, let's take some warm up runs. And something was weird that day. Like, I remember just jumping off the heli and I was like, I don't know, like I just don't feel good about it.
Yeah.
And I picked kind of like a mellow run. Started riding. There was kind of like this convex roller at the top, and usually like if there's an avalanche, it's at the top.
Yeah.
And I kind of like put a turn there and nothing went, and I'm like, okay, cool, like I'm just gonna cruise through. And then as I'm like halfway through the line, all of a sudden the whole mountain just cracks, and I could feel like it's a lot of snow because it's like I'm surfing and it's piling up in front of me. It's probably like 3-4 feet deep, like in front of me. Luckily I had a lot of speed, so I was able to straight line and then jump over the face of it.
Right.
And then there was like a kind of like a little hump on the ride, so I just peeled to the right, and as soon as I peeled, I'm like, okay, I know I'm good.
Right.
But the heli was sitting right underneath it. Like, it was sketchy spot to be. And so first thing I look back and I'm like, oh my God, because it was kind of spring, so there was snow chunks probably the size of a car.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't powder, it was just like these giant chunks. Like, if that hit you,
you
wouldn't have a chance, because you would just dive from the impact.
And they're solid ice.
Yeah. So I peeled off and I'm like, oh my God. And the next thing I'm like, oh my, that's going straight to the helicopter.
Yeah.
And that's like pilot, Leyland, Mikey, like the whole crew. And I'm just watching, and it's like this thing, it's just a cloud probably like 50 feet, you know, tall, the whole snow cloud.
Yeah.
And from my perspective, the whole like the hell, everything disappeared. I couldn't see, so I didn't know like what was going on.
Right.
And it was really scary, but luckily like the whole avalanche just kind of peeled right in front of the heli, like kind of follow the contour. Yeah. You know, and it probably went like 20 feet from front of him, just like,
oh my God.
But that was I think, and that to me was like, okay, like, I'm down.
Yeah. You're like, well,
like, no more.
See you guys.
And I just sent a photo to Mikey after that. I rode my my truck to Toyota and just drove off with Prius.
Yeah.
And I sent a photo to Mikey like, this is it.
That's it.
And a lot of these guys didn't know that I was going to retire. And yeah, I was just like, oh shit, like, what? Wow. What's happening?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was... it's scary. And then obviously I had a lot of you know, just close calls, like rocks and things, like, yeah. Somehow like you always dodge them, but and I think it's like over a course of like, you know, 20-year career, like you feel like you can only dodge so many bullets. And after a while, like your numbers are kind of getting
exactly.
Yeah, so I feel very fortunate, you know. I'm healthy. I don't have anything major. I mean, I've had 5 ankle surgeries and you know, things that I have to manage, but nothing is gonna stop me doing anything. So
awesome, cool. James West, with the massive progression in our sport right now, where do we go next? Is it gonna be more spins and flips or technique and style?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, everybody keeps every year. I mean, I remember when there was switchback nines. Everyone was saying like, "Well, we can't do switchback tens.
Yeah.
Like, no one's gonna do a switchback ten."
Yeah,
you know. And then when the tens all happened, everyone's like, "We're not going farther than a 10."
Yeah,
that's it. And now it's like we're at quad quarks, and everyone's like, "Well, it can't go any further." But
yeah, I feel like it's just like a different disciplines almost. Like, that's just how it's gonna go. Like, it's, you have your contest, like slope style, big air, whatever, like that's becoming like, you know, its own kind of discipline.
Yeah,
like tricks is gonna go crazy.
Yep.
You know, in my opinion, I'm not sure how much that is snowboarding, but it is, and it's impressive what people do.
Yep.
I think that there's always going to be that progression, but then there's the whole side of like, it's almost like where skateboarding was. Like, skateboarding was like gnarly handrails and like big gaps, but now you look at skateboarding, it's more
tech.
Like fun tech,
ledgy,
more creative.
Yeah.
And you see that coming in snowboarding now. It's like, you know, people doing really cool. It's fun to watch, you know? So I think it's like just different categories, but I think it's like, I think the tricks is going to keep evolving crazy and crazier in the contest scene.
Yeah. Okay.
And, but I definitely like the whole creative part of snowboarding. That's kind of what snowboarding was to me when I grew up. It's like always kind of trying to take you from skateboarding, you know, like, you know, what can you do with the little space or just whatever you're handed to.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the questions are piling up. We got, this is awesome because, you know, so it really depends on how many questions we get. So let's try to fire through all of your questions. So just give like, let's just do like quick answers and try just to see if we can answer everybody's questions. Sean McManus, how can the public get involved with protecting where we play?
So that's our new nonprofit. Okay. Really, really excited.
Good question.
Yeah. So it's, the website's going to be protectingwhereweplay.org. We'll be putting water stations in public places, places where we play.
Yep.
So we're just, relaunching the whole nonprofit.
Okay.
So it's probably going to be in about a month. We're going to have everything on the site.
Okay.
And, there's going to be a lot of different ways to participate.
Cool.
So yeah, so very, very, very exciting. Yeah.
In about a month, you can go to the site.
Yeah.
The public can help
protectingwherewe.org.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Wait, say that again.
Protectingwherewe.org.
Okay. Joseph Rapoli, why, as a professional snowboarder and father, do you not wear a helmet? Ooh, just digging in there.
Yeah, I mean, that was just like, I think it's, I never grew up wearing helmets.
Yep.
When we grew up skating, we didn't have, there was no helmets.
Yep.
You know, and just that, I remember when X Games had it first year, like, you have to wear a helmet, and it was just like, I just didn't feel like
comfortable.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like free. Like, I didn't feel like that's like myself. Like, I had this thing bouncing around my head. Like, And I'm not saying by any means it's the right thing. I think everybody should wear helmets, but I think that was just the era that we're came from.
Yeah.
And just never really quite felt comfortable with.
Yeah, no, I agree. Again, not,
but
not,
you know,
not, it's a good thing to wear helmets.
But I think it's like now it's kind of like helmets are just standard.
Right.
Deal,
yeah, which is awesome.
Really cool. Yeah. Like, it's not like, oh, you're the helmet guy. You know.
Yeah.
So it's cool that it has got to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared Bronson, where do you get your drive for snowboarding, or maybe where did you get it when you were hitting all the big crazy stuff? And
that's a good question. I think it's, for me, I noticed that every year, like, you kind of have to have some sort of vision what you want.
Yeah.
Like, out of the year, like, you're going into the season, you're like, oh, this year, like, I just want to do, like, some creative stuff or double lines or butters or whatever it is. It's like, if I didn't have that plan, I felt like I was just kind of bouncing around, not really going after certain things.
Yep.
So just kind of having, like, a vision.
Yeah.
And then that would kind of like motivate you. And once you're out there, you would look at those specific spots like, oh, yeah, I want to do the double lines. Like, that's all you look for, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, just switching it up. I think it's, if you just keep doing the same thing, you're just going to get bored. Like, you gotta just think out of the box and just try to push yourself one way or another.
Awesome. Pierre Wickberg. Pierre is hello, one, Pierre. You know, Pierre, he was the main guy for Robot Food. Top three video parts and top three influencers. We got in top three influencers already. That was Terrier, Devin, and Peter.
Right. Ingemar.
Yeah. Oh, Ingemar. Yeah. My bad.
Terry is in there too.
Terry. We'll put Terry in there. Yeah. Okay. He'll yeah. It. Ingemar, Peter, and Devin. But yeah. Side note, Pierre was texting me today. He's buying furniture for his new apartment in New York, and he was going to buy a log stump, and it was $250. And he's like, should I buy this stump? And I was like, no.
You're an idiot, Pierre.
Yeah. I was like, buy a chainsaw. You could have a million stumps. But he was right. He knew it was a dumb move. But that's a good thing. Top three favorite video parts.
Meltdown Project.
Okay.
Ingmar Bachman.
Okay.
Yeah. Roman Rogers part. I think, which was that? Pierre, maybe you can help.
Roman Rogers?
I think he was, Hunger and Homeless?
Yeah.
MacDog?
Yep.
Yeah, Roman, that was just like, to me, that was like, just the eye opener.
Yeah.
Like he was doing Switchback Fives, and I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, like this guy's insane.
Yeah.
And then pretty much every single Peter Lyons part.
Peter Lyons.
Yeah.
J.G. Gernt.
J.G.
What was the name of the Lamar board that you used to ride in the pipe back in the day?
it was my pro model, but it was probably one of the worst boards ever made in the history of snowboarding.
All right.
And it was like, it was so soft. And I remember being in the first X Games in the East Coast. And I didn't really like the course, so I was like, oh, I gotta do something different here.
Yeah.
So I decided to skip half the slope and hit the border cross course into the, so there was like this gap, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember going so fast, and I'm like looking at my snowboard, and it's like, just like, I'm like, oh my God, is it gonna make it? So after that, JG is the kind of like the visionary of all the Burton snowboards.
Okay.
So
okay.
He's, OG,
yeah.
Shaper,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, actually, well, on to the next subject. Ryan Ford, what's the favorite snowboard that you've ever ridden? And what's the current board that you're riding?
So 2001, I got my first pro model.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with JG.
Yeah.
I think it was like just the opportunity to like do anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so that was my favorite board at the time because it was like finally like
yeah.
I can get anything I want
yeah.
all those things that
yeah
you know
that
always
yeah.
wish for. And when I grew up somewhere I never had money, so I always rode bad boards and
mm-hmm.
and then I would ride anything I would get a discount on or whatever, so
yeah,
so I finally got my proper sled.
Amazing. Mark Sullivan, where is the best place that you have ever ridden?
Best place, oh man, it's there's so many. I like riding in Europe because
mm-hmm.
It's so big and there's so much terrain and like we're in somewhere it's like 3 years ago and it's just like you can get lost and find insane terrain and
yeah
I love riding in Europe anywhere and then. And obviously, like, Alaska was very special.
Yeah.
Like, that was probably, like, the most memorable rides. But I just remember being terrified the whole time, so.
Yeah.
I just
couldn't relax. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Let's see here. Your robot food parts were awesome. Spencer Rowe, the butters before the takeoffs were rad. Who did you see first do that? Did you see anybody do that? Like.
Yeah, it was, like, Joan Cardiel and, like, like Mike Rangood and all those like the early like
yeah
it was like,
so they were doing that
like yeah like Noah Salasnak it was like late you know early 90s
yeah
that whole era
yep
yeah and that was just that just always stayed with me
yeah
it was just cool.
Okay. Sean Tidor, what influenced you to do the butter, the butters, but well, I guess we just answered that. What's up, Sean? Sean Tito, always an advocate watcher of this. Let's see, what setup do you ride right now? Sam McCormick. What board do you ride right now when you go shred at the mountain?
Yeah, so I have a bunch of burn boards, which I love. And then I was riding Gentam in Japan, mm-hmm. and absolutely loved them.
Yeah.
It was really fun. It was something that I haven't really ridden before, so it just kind of opened up like way of my riding.
Yeah,
that was really fun. But yeah, just burden, and I definitely want to, you know, Gentams are cool. They're really fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Do you have a favorite trick, Kevin Wilson?
Favorite trick? I always loved like switchback 180s, no grab.
Oh, yeah.
Just super floaty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those.
I think you got those ones a lot. let's see. Paul Venderheiden, can we please see a robot food reunion video?
I know.
That would be pretty cool.
It's been coming up a lot. Yeah.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Yeah, I think we've got to do it. I think it's time, but it's just like we've talked about it a lot, and everybody's doing like sets of different things.
You know what?
And which is amazing, because it's like, I think the last email chain we had, and you look at the email, it's like Villa is killing it. Obviously, you had his thing. It's like roasting coffee. Benedict is crushing it, doing his thing in Europe. And everybody's doing really well what they're doing, but we're just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
But
maybe you guys could do just 1 week somewhere.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
try to get everybody together for one week, whether it's in like the US or Europe or something, and be like, okay, we're all going to do a vacation for this 1 week, and we're just going to film.
And it'd be rad to go like some of those places that we went to.
Yeah.
You know, like the Cook City, like we kind of, like that was the spot at the time. Or
like those mine shafts.
Exactly.
That was, was that Smiley Creek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good call.
Actually, on the same topic, Evan Francis Litzwas, did you guys realize the impact that you were going to have on snowboarding when you were filming Robot Food? Like, you know?
Yeah. You know, no, we didn't. But I think it was... so from filming with Standard Films, that was era its own. It was incredible.
Yep.
Like that was like, it taught me a lot about like how to go filming, how to get things done.
Yeah.
But I think like it was sort of controlled in a certain way. And our group was like, there was a lot of creative guys like Travis and David. And like, we felt like we wanted to do something different,
right?
You know, something that it's more tangible to like a normal rider. It's something that I would enjoy watching.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where the idea came from. And we had really no like particular plan around it. Mm-hmm. It was just like, hey, like, let's just do this. Let's do what we want to do and let's have fun. And I think one of the key things for that was because we always traveled as a crew.
Yep.
Like wherever we went, like he was a whole crew, and then we might have split it in two different crews, but it was just like after the day, like we hung out with the whole group of 10 dudes.
Yeah.
So just like, I think that really breeds through. Because now it's like you film and it's like such a small group, and you're just doing your thing, and it's not really like
It's like at the end of the at the premiere, you're like meeting people who are in the video. You're like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Oh, you have the second part. Oh, cool. I have third part. Oh, nice to meet you.
Anyways.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think we're wrapping up. This has ended up being amazing. We had so many questions. Real quick though, I mean, so now you're doing Mizu full time, and. What is your kind of, I mean, this started as a passion project to just make less people use plastic bottles, which is really great. And now it's turned into a full-time business and company. And what's, you know, your daily role there?
I do like marketing, branding, but, you know, I'm involved with a lot of things. But, you know, we're growing, so we have specific roles for each category.
Yep.
So I work with product, and obviously with my partner, Tim, just kind of like where we want to be in the future. And then day to day is more branding, marketing.
Yep.
I do a lot of our photography now too, which I love. but yeah, it's pretty neat to see how it's grown. It's like from our mission to be able to do products that can relate to more everyday life too. So we have cutlery sets. you know, reducing.
Oh, I know. I saw those. Those are really cool.
And like cups, we have wine cups and
coffee cups.
And just anywhere you can reduce single-use plastic, because it's once you live in the space where we are, like, you're really aware, like, how many billions of bottles, like, you know, 40 billion bottles end up in the landfills. Like, it's huge. Yeah. And you look at, like, plastic cutlery, like, people just throw them left and right, and you don't think, because it just disappears.
Yeah, yeah.
But so we're, that's our core mission, is to really have an impact on that. And, yeah, we're having a ton of fun, and we finally, like, kind of reached a tipping point that we can finally do things, that you know, properly, and, right. like, that book that you've been sitting on for so long, like, we can look at, like, oh, like, this product, like, we can finally, like,
do that,
dive into it, and and then having the own nonprofit, which we donate 1% of the sales into protecting where we play, and so that's going to be a big project, and that's kind of like going to be my leading role as well.
Okay.
So wearing a lot of different hats.
Cool. That's amazing.
But it's been incredible learning experience, and been very lucky to have really amazing crew, learning from them, and and it's, I mean, when I started, like, we were just laughing with Tim too. It's like I never had, like, Microsoft Office on my computer. It's like, started doing Excel sheets. It's like, oh, like, this is how you do it. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, like, double corks, those are pretty easy too. I'm like, well, what, you just do that?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Man, that's awesome.
But just like diving into it, just like, and it's, you know, it was inspiring to see Villa's whole story. Same thing. It's like, you know, having that passion and then just, you know, transferring that into business.
Yep.
It's really cool. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, if you want to learn more about Mizu or protecting where we play, you can go to Mizu.com and then...
MizuLife.com
Mizu Life.
And at MizuLife, we're on the social.
Okay. And then also, we're going to have some Transworld Snowboarding / Mizu collab bottles. They're going to be for sale on the Transworld site as well. And as well as this kick-ass shirt that I'm wearing. That'll be for sale on the Transworld site coming up pretty soon, twsnow.com. And also, I just got this note on the computer here. If you're stoked on these live videos on the Eddie's Wall, up in this corner of your computer screen, if I'm doing that right, because it's all backwards, you know, up in that corner, click turn on live notifications. So you're not going to get a million notifications a day, but you will get the live notification when we're going live on Transworld. So it's just a good way for you guys to know that to join into the conversation and ask amazing snowboarders like UC Oxenden some questions. So I mean, I think that's it. UC, thank you so much.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And thank you guys for watching. Your questions are what made this interview. We really appreciate this. And lastly, before you leave, what every guest on the show has to do is sign the wall behind you. Let me shake up the marker for you. And again, thanks, cool. UC.
Yeah,
true
thank you.
Snowboard
Appreciate it.
Inspiration.
Likewise.
life inspiration.